And let me read that for you. It says this: brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we do thank you today for the power of your word and the promises that are there. And Lord, the strength and encouragement we receive by your truth. And Lord, sometimes the rebuke that we receive from your truth. But God, we thank you that you are always at work. And I thank you for the kingdom of God in Mongolia that is advancing. Lord, as people are getting saved and coming to faith in Christ Jesus, and as the church that was almost non-existent 25 years ago is now growing and alive. And Lord, continue, we pray, to breathe life into the church in Mongolia. And we pray that for the church here in Huntingdon as well. Lord, help us to love your kingdom and to love people. And Lord, we pray for salvation to be poured out, for people to respond to the gospel, that we can advance the kingdom of God here through our church as well. Lord, we just thank you for a great week of Vacation Bible School and for the truths, the word that was shared with the children and the songs that they learned. And Lord, we just thank you that it was a good week, and we pray for continuing fruit from that. Father, we thank you that we can intercede on behalf of people that we care about. And we just want to lift up to you the family of Jason Stolkovich as his grandmother passed away, and also for the Holmes family, again, with the passing of Barb Holmes. Lord, and others who are grieving loss, be their comfort. Lord, we also think of many in need of healing. And just especially want to lift up Carla Weiser's father, Gordon Ross, and his ongoing severe struggle with health needs. Lord, we all have needs. We all, God, are broken, fallen people. And we just ask for your forgiveness for our sin and the ways that we failed you this week, Lord God, and the things that in our hearts that just aren't as they should be. God, we just marvel at the grace that comes to us at the cross and your forgiveness. And Lord, thank you that your grace toward us can help us have grace toward one another and our faults and failures and our sin. And I pray, Lord, for the grace that is needed between us as individuals and the grace that's needed in families to let go of offenses, to bring down walls that have been built sometimes for generations. God, we pray the power of the blood of Jesus to restore relationships to what they can be and should be, and to bring healing to wounded hearts. And I thank you, God, that we can trust you with all of that as we commit it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you want to come sing that hymn now?
Would you please stand with me? Hymn 242, Jesus, I Would Faithful Be.
Jesus.
Actually, my apologies for that little mix-up there. That's my fault, and I'll blame it on my jet lag, you know, for not touching base about who's reading the scripture there. So, speaking of jet lag, I did want to just show a few pictures of the Mongolia trip. I'll share more at another time, but just to give you a small taste, do we have some of those pictures from the Mongolia trip? If you remember, we took an offering Easter time for a computer and to build another gear. But previously, I think this was at Christmas time, we'd taken an offering to put a heating system in a building, an actual brick and mortar building that one of the gear schools had purchased. And there we are. We're standing by the heating unit that we had purchased for them that heats up the water and flows it through radiators throughout the building. And that couple there is Aruna and Erdene, the couple that together teach the school and also lead the church services as they're planting a church in that building. A great couple that we got to know better, and they just wanted me to express their thanks to you for keeping them warm in that building this past winter. Go to the next picture, if you would. And that's that same building. And there we are in the worship service, you know, just sharing about the time that we had and the week of camp that our team provided for some of their students the week prior. Go ahead, next picture. That is the gate there, and you can see it in English there, Kama Educational Center. This was a different one of the Gare School churches, and they also, in that courtyard inside that gate, built an actual building, and you can see the top of it poking up above there. Go ahead, next picture. And there I am with one of the adorable children that we met, and that was in the worship service there with them. Go ahead. And yeah, that's the entire congregation with us. So you can see the churches there are small. But it was so beautiful, even though I couldn't understand their language, to just to worship with them and to to see the life in the church. There's all age groups there, and you could tell they really want to be there. They love the Lord and they love each other, and so I think the future looks very bright for the church in Mongolia. Go ahead, next one there. And again, the purpose that our team went for mainly was to provide this camp experience, a week of camp for these children who've been learning English. And a lot of these kids don't go to the church, so that and are not Christians. But we spent some time teaching them English, but also sharing the gospel with them. And there's myself and the four ladies that I came with, and the young man on the end there standing is a Mongolian young man, 18 years old. He's a son of one of the teachers, and very, very bright, promising young man. And the six boys down below there, ages 9 through 12, were the ornery crew that I was responsible for in the room that I stayed. They were a fun bunch. Next picture. And there we are in the kitchen. You can see they're rambunctious and having fun. They were great. And there we are doing some your typical camp silly things to make the kids laugh and have a good time. Good. And did some, old gunny sack races and things like that. And because it was an English camp, we had to, they wanted to do some American traditional things. And so last night, we had this campfire under the huge Mongolian sky. That young man I pointed out earlier is playing the guitar there, and he's playing Amazing Grace. And imagine, the Mongolians all singing in their language, Amazing Grace, and we Americans were singing it in English, and it was a great time. Also, it's just a beautiful time of fellowship, and what was neat too is we brought the things to make s'mores, right? Because you can't have a campfire without making s'mores. And of course, these kids had never done this. They never heard of such things. They'd never roasted marshmallows. And so there I am jamming marshmallows on sticks for them. And they all put them over the fire. And of course, they start on fire. And imagine these little kids, once the marshmallows start on fire, they're swinging the sticks, trying to put them out, and launching burning marshmallow missiles across the sky. It was just, it was priceless. There's the whole group of kids and teachers and all for one big group picture. It was God was really at work. Some of these kids came to the Lord. Some who did know the Lord had some real spiritual breakthroughs. And God was really, really at work in amazing ways. Here we are, the American team on the left, and some of the Mongolian teachers that teach in those gear schools. And we just, it was such a wonderful connection that we had with them as well. And we have new Facebook friends that I can't read a single thing that they post. But there are some tearful goodbyes as the kids, and we really grew to love them. And is there another picture? Yeah, there we are. There we are at another one of the churches. If you remember the bookmarks that we had handed out, this on the right, the lady there is the teacher that was in that picture with me. Her name is Amra. And we're praying there at a worship service for her brother who has a health need. And so it was just great to connect with them, minister to them in different situations. All right. Oh, and this is a picture of one of the shrines that you'll find along the highway just everywhere in Mongolia. A lot of people, shamanism is a big religion, and they have these little things where they'll go alongside the road and they'll pray and they'll pour out vodka to appease the spirits, and so there's a lot of darkness. And we went up to one of these and we're just praying against the deception and the false religion, and so there's a lot of darkness there yet. So. Just continue to pray for the children and the people of Mongolia. And again, thank you for helping me get there to represent us, to bless them. And thank you from the church in Mongolia. So just a little taste there of what we experienced. All right. Well, now to the message. Christian karma, you see, that's an odd title for a sermon. But if you've never heard of karma, bad karma, not sure what it is, here's a little video we have that's an example of bad karma. Okay, so it gives you a little idea of what we're talking about when we talk about karma. So I've heard more and more people refer to this concept in recent years, making reference to karma, and it's an idea that's more and more accepted in our day. And so what exactly is it? What are we talking about? And why should I bother addressing it in a sermon? Well, it is a very ancient idea that appears to have originated in ancient India. It's often referred to as the law of karma and has variations found in Buddhism and Hinduism and a lot of other isms. Basically, the law of karma says this simply: when you do something bad, sooner or later, something bad will happen to you. And if you do something good, sooner or later, something good will happen to you. And of course, the ultimate of karma is the idea that if someone dies, they will be reincarnated. And if they've done good in this life, the next life will find them more wealthy and better looking. If they've done evil in this life, they can look forward to life as a rodent the next time around, or something like that. So why should we care about this idea that comes from Eastern religions and not the scriptures? Well, there is biblical teaching on sowing and reaping that kind of seems to be saying some similar things to what karma is saying. To take another look at the verses in the text that refer to this, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Now, just to look at some other scriptures that say some similar things. 2 Corinthians 9, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." And he's talking about the issue of giving. Book of James says that peacemakers who sow in peace raise or reap a harvest of righteousness. The Old Testament prophets said things like this in Hosea: "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." As Job was wrestling with some of his circumstances, he said this: "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." And the Wisdom Book of Proverbs says this: "The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed." And there are many other scriptures I could go to that either directly or indirectly speak about reaping what you sow, and about what you do, good or bad, coming back to you with accordingly good or bad results. And it can make us wonder about, okay, what is the connection here between what the Bible says and this popular idea and culture of karma? And how many times have we heard or even said, hey, what goes around comes around? And aren't these just different voices saying the exact same thing? You know, and karma is just one example of many we could look at where something the Bible says appears at first glance to be saying something very similar to what something from another religion seems to be saying. Is it the same? It's very important to think through such things biblically and thoughtfully. And so, let's take a look at what is in common and what's different between the Christian idea of sowing and reaping, and in comparison with the idea of karma. So in the outline there in your bulletins, first, what karma and sowing and reaping have in common? You see, of course, the ultimate example of this idea is if you do forward this inspirational email or do repost this inspirational Facebook post, then an angel will personally be dispatched to make sure that your prayers are answered. And of course, if you don't forward this post or inspirational story, well, then your pets will never be house-trained and no one will ever love you. But on a more serious note, here are some things that these two ideas share in common. Letter A, what we do matters, okay? You know, a message communicated by much of our culture is this, that nothing matters. It doesn't matter what you do. We're all, if we're all the result of evolutionary chance and we're just higher animals and there is no afterlife, no God, then how could it matter what we do? Do what you want. There are no consequences. This is why we see some of the unbelievable evil that we find in the news, you know, the murders, the kidnappings, and all of it. These atrocities are done by people who believe that we don't answer to anyone or anything. Do what you think you can get by with, what you have the power to do. And both the ideas of karma and sowing and reaping both challenge that, and rightfully so. They both teach that there is good and there is evil, and that our actions open the door for further in our world for one or the other of those two forces, good and evil. And so as far as that goes, the Bible and the idea of karma agree. What we do matters. The choices that we make from day to day do have consequences, significant ones, long-lasting ones in some cases. So they agree on that. What we do matters. Letter B, what we do affects what happens to us. See, not only do both of these teachings tell us that what we do matters, but they tell us that what we do has direct effect on what happens to us. Again, we sometimes wonder, you know, we look at our world and we sometimes see good people who can't catch a break no matter what, you know? And we see bad people enjoying life very well. It's just not right. But you know, it's nothing new. The author of Psalm 73 laments how the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. And he sees how unfair it is that people get by with evil and those who do good don't seem to get rewarded sometimes. And he confesses that he wonders sometimes, what's the point of it all then in doing right? But then he gets alone with God and he sees, it's just a matter of time. It may not even be in this life, but folks, sooner or later, the wicked are judged and the righteous are rewarded. Karma and scripture both say, not only do our actions affect others, but sooner or later, what you do catches up to you and has a direct effect on your circumstances. And that's something to take seriously when we're making choices about what to do or not to do. Letter C. Both of these teachings, karma and the biblical idea of sowing and reaping, agree that there is cosmic justice, all right? There's something built into us that demands justice. You know, when we think we found an open parking spot at the grocery store, really close to the door, and we start to pull in, and we find that it appears to be open because somebody left a grocery cart there, right? And so we really can't park there. We want somebody to pay for that, don't we? Right? Silly example, but we want bad things to be punished. And we want bad people to face consequences. And we want good things to be rewarded. We want good people to receive blessings. That's cosmic justice. And of course, we don't always see that. At least not now, in the short term. But both karma and reap what you sow teaching promise that sooner or later this justice will come. What is right will prevail. That is a good thing. And what is evil will be judged. So with this, we might think, based on this information, you know, we might think, hey, well, these are the same thing. Karma says this. The Bible says about sowing and reaping. Sounds pretty much the same. But there are some very important differences, and we're going to take a look at those. So point number two, how karma and sowing and reaping are different. Letter A under that is this. There's a difference about who controls it. Is it God or impersonal law. I'm talking about the question of source. Where does the power of this cause and effect thing come from? Who is it that determines that a good action is to be rewarded or an evil action is to be punished? You know, this is no small distinction. In fact, I'm afraid it's a question that doesn't get asked frequently enough. We need to ask more often about many things. Where is this coming from? What or who is really behind this? You know, think of it this way. If you get a message from somebody letting you know how they feel about you, okay, that message from one person would be perfectly appropriate and make you feel great. But from someone else, that same message would be very inappropriate and cause you great concern. Same message, but considering who's the source makes all the difference. Similar things apply here. With karma or the law of sowing and reaping, the big difference is who's behind it. In karma, the power behind it, the force that controls it, is generally considered to be some impersonal force, a law, kind of like gravity. You know, it's just a law of nature, but in their understanding, there's no God behind it. Certainly not a personal, all-knowing, loving Lord. None of that. It's just a matter of how things work. It's just impersonal, cold even, ruthless at times. It's just the facts of the universe. For the Christian, however, for the believer in the God of the Bible, it's very, very different. We know there is a God on the throne of heaven, a good God, a just God, a holy and yet merciful God, who is in ultimate control of seeing to it that people reap what they sow. And that's what Paul says in Galatians, God is not mocked. That's why people reap what they sow. God sees to it that those who sow righteousness reap blessing, and those who sow to please themselves and do what is evil, they reap the bitter fruit of that. A personal, wise being is in charge of this, and explains why sometimes that sowing and reaping is clear and quick, the consequences obvious and soon, and sometimes they're much harder to see, much more subtle, sometimes delayed, even for a lifetime. Interesting verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 says this, "The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever." So he's saying sometimes, it seems to be saying sometimes the you reap what you sow quickly, and sometimes it takes a while, but it does happen. But it's why that is and who controls why it's sometimes quick and sometimes delayed, well, that's up to God. He's the one who controls that. So this should be of great comfort, you know, that this is God, not an impersonal law. Another difference, letter B here, the point of it all. You know, is this karma thing, you know, is it just for yourselves or the cosmos? Or do we reap what we sow for the glory of God? Another important question here, what's the end of it, the purpose, the point of it? If karma is an impersonal law like gravity, and if there is no God over it all, then it would seem that this principle could have no more meaning than simply this: I want to benefit myself. I want things to go right for me and my plans, so maybe I can use this law to my advantage, right? To do good for the purpose of receiving the most good. It can be totally selfish. Or we could look at it in a slightly more noble way by saying, well, the point of it all is the good of the cosmos, to bring balance and unity to the universe, and our good actions can serve that purpose. Well, okay, but that's kind of vague and very different from the biblical understanding. We do good and reap blessing for the ultimate purpose of the glory of God, to testify to his greatness, his justice, his love. We do good to build his kingdom, to point people to know his salvation, to simply obey our King and our Lord, and the fact that we receive blessing from that isn't ultimately the point. It's not about us. It's about him and our relationship to him. A wonderful relationship to a good God. That's what every human being deep down needs a whole lot more than some impersonal law that we hope can make things work out good for us. I don't know about you, but the biblical understanding sounds to me like a much better point to it all, right? The kingdom of God and his glory and what he's working toward than just for self or some nebulous cosmic justice. A third thing that is very, very different, and this is such a biggie, is the element of grace, forgiveness. Very important point here. This is so huge. I can't overestimate it. There's an element in the biblical understanding that karma does not recognize. In fact, it's very central to a biblical worldview, but karma has absolutely no room for it. It's this thing called grace, forgiveness, redemption. You see, karma is simple, neat, and tidy justice, right? Just like for the guy in the video. But for someone who's done wrong, karma does not hold out hope. There is no such thing as grace in karma, only fear of when and how it's going to catch up to you. Too many Christians think as though we are merely under the laws of karma, not the grace of God. I've heard Christians speak as though they're constantly looking over their shoulder, just waiting for some past sin to catch up to them. You know, and they have something bad happen, and then they think, oh no, I knew I was going to pay for that. You know? And yes, there are consequences for what we do, but folks, grace. Grace. We need grace. And with Jesus, grace is there for us. Praise God. Remember, the gospel makes it clear Jesus took the ultimate penalty for our misdeeds. Sin is washed away. Punishment that we earned, the bad seed that we sowed, Jesus reaped the bitter fruit for us. And we will not suffer the eternal consequences of our misdeeds. That should never, folks, that should never cease to amaze us, never cease to elicit gratitude from our hearts. The gospel of grace is so, so much better than a mere law of karma. I so much prefer to receive mercy than justice. And praise God, that grace, that mercy is offered to us in Jesus Christ at the cross. So, I hope that some of this has been enlightening and helpful for us in sorting truth from error. And again, it's important that we think biblically and sorting out what might on the surface appear to be saying the same thing as the Bible. But when you look a little deeper, there are important, important differences. And oh, as our nation celebrates another Independence Day this coming week, let's pray for America to sow seeds of goodness and to reap fruit of righteousness. But I'm guessing there may be some more personal things that we're thinking of in regard to all this. I'm sure that some of us here today might wonder if it's all a bunch of hogwash, karma and the biblical idea of sowing and reaping together. You know, you might be tempted to think, you know, I've sown good stuff. I do what's right. I try to be kind and helpful and generous and selfless. But it's gotten me nowhere. You know, things just don't seem to go right for me no matter what. And others who sow some pretty lousy things seem to get all the breaks when what they deserve is bad karma coming back at them. What do you say about that, preacher? Well, God addresses just those thoughts in the Bible in multiple ways. But earlier I mentioned Psalm 73. And I want to read for you that psalm in its entirety and see what it says in this regard. The psalmist says this, and just really listen to his heart as he's wrestling with these issues. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my foot had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff. They speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. always carefree. They increase in wealth. And as he thinks about that, look at what he says. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been plagued. I've been punished every morning. But then he stops and says, you know, if I said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant, a brute beast before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. In other words, we can trust a good God to bring about ultimately what is just and right. Even though it might seem for a long time like there is no justice in this world. Let me assure you, the good that you have sown has not gone unnoticed. No matter how it might seem right now, God is patient. And blessings we wait for are only sweeter because of the wait. And we can trust that evil will be judged. It will be given the sentence that is due. But the most amazing thing is grace. That means people who have done bad, even those who have done great evil, can turn from it and be forgiven for it and washed of it and freed from the punishment. Not destroyed, but redeemed to the praise of a merciful God. And so people, do good. Do good. It matters. Don't do evil. It does tend to catch up to you. Not because of karma, but because of a sovereign God. Love him. Trust him. Serve him. Surrender to him. You will not regret it. Please bow your heads with me. And let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you today that your truth is truth. It is ultimately our hope. And God, I do pray for greater and greater discernment in the days in which we live to sort out truth from error. And some of these comparative religious things that can sound very similar, but yet such important differences. Lord, I thank you that we can trust that as we sow good seed, there will be a harvest of righteousness. There is great reward, Lord, in doing right. And Lord, for the sins and the failure, things that we've done wrong, Lord, if we confess those things, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to wash us, set us free from all the punishment of it. Lord, thank you that we can trust you with this. And Lord, now as we just offer ourselves, our lives, all that we are to you, Lord, use us to sow seeds of glory and of good things to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 225, please stand with me. Take my life and let it be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move.
And now may God dismiss you with his blessing, and may he enable you to live out the commitment to him that you have just sung about, and may he be glorified in your life, and may it bring good fruit for his glory. Amen.